Welcome to the Williams Meekin YB Hurtin phone conference line.
Good morning.
Morning, Ruth.
Good morning. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Have a great day, all.
Good morning, Nancy. Good to hear your voice. Good to see Mary Lou on the screen. We ought to have a little theme song here back to Mr. Rogers. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Sounds good.
Find out how to put some music also, on here.
And also, it's a beautiful morning in the neighborhood.
Right. Yep.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mary Lou.
Good morning. Did Dennis give you my message?
No.
Oh, I called yesterday. We've been out of town. You must have forgotten.
I must have.
Yeah. Anyway, we, Chuck and our friends stayed, and we were running like crazy yesterday trying to get caught up on everything, so.
I'm just glad everything's fine.
Oh, yeah. I called and said I did call.
I'll have to get after him.
No, and we were running around trying to get our Mother's Day stuff all done yesterday afternoon, too, so. I came home and forgot I had a cardiologist appointment. Oh, it was fun yesterday. Yeah.
Life can get busy, that's for sure.
Yep, that's for sure. Well, Margaret said that you talked a bit about what went on at the Royal Alliance. I'm not prepared for my call today. If there's no new people, maybe you could go over it again.
Oh, I have a little part I wouldn't mind going over.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
I was thinking about that today, and I don't know if anybody wants to enjoy it. It's probably not that enjoyable, but it certainly is impactful. Has been for me, anyway.
It certainly is what?
Impactful.
Okay.
I have to hold this if I'm going to do something else. I dropped my mic.
Oh.
Which is supposed to be in front of my mouth, but it doesn't stay there. Okay, so you go ahead, and then when you want me to talk, tell me.
Okie dokie. Well, I see Monty, Nancy, and us on here. Anybody else? Has anyone else joined us?
Kathleen's on, but I can't get a funny thing. I'm trying to dial in ybhurtin.biz, so.
Oh.
It just adds a 3 and a forward slash to the end of it. I don't understand that.
Oh, you're trying to get on the internet, is what you're saying. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary Lou.
Good morning, Margaret. Okay. Anybody else here?
Usually we have like 8 to 12 people on the audio.
Phone?
On the phone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Well, I haven't gotten on the other yet.
I don't know if you guys, how many of you got a thing I had sent in the mail. I think I got it from Ralph. I sent it out on an email yesterday, or late yesterday, about lemons and how important lemons are. Well, I know how important lemons are, and I absolutely, love them, and so does Ruth, and we make our ice cubes out of lemons and all that good stuff. Well, a nurse friend sent me back a thing and said that she thought I might like to read the following article at Snopes. And she said, and so I thought, oh, brother, here I've sent out another one of those. But she says, it confirms some of the anti-cancer stuff, but not the cure stuff. She said it's very interesting information. So I sent out an apology and told people they could read that if they wanted, but that I was continuing with my lemons because I feel that they are, the more that we can reduce the inflammation in our body, and lemons do that, they're alkaline, that the healthier that we can be. And so I I sent out the apology, invited everybody to the call this morning. But it doesn't look like they've joined us because it went out to a slug of people. So.
Hey, Lou, I'd like to get those. This is Kathleen.
Pardon me?
I'd like to get those. This is Kathleen Miller.
Okay. Well, I'll send you the Snopes thing, too, because they're, you know, it says it cures cancer, which we can't say. Well, I guess a lemon. I don't know. We'll just see. I know I'm going to stay as alkaline as possible.
Do you know who Snopes is?
Pardon me?
Have you ever researched who Snopes is?
Yeah, I have. Uh-huh.
That's a year or so ago, it showed a picture of a couple in their 40s or 50s, and they just did that in their basement at home, and they just decided a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I sent it back. And it did come back. It didn't say it wasn't true. It said it was partially true and partially not. And to be honest with you, I glanced over it, glazed over it, and didn't read the entire thing, so I'll be a little more thorough on both today. But I was kind of excited to have this. Since we started this program, this is the first time that we have had, Larry and I have had company, and then we were out of town with this company at a folk festival in Tucson, and it's the first time, I mean, for a whole week, that we've had people there, people with us, and not keeping track of our points and that kind of stuff, because it's just hard when you're traveling. And I came home, and I thought, oh, good grief, what's going to happen? And I would say we're on the right program. I gained a half a pound in a week, and that's 5/10. I know this is the awesome program, and I know it's got to be because we're cutting down on the inflammation in our bodies. So I was delighted that I thought, oh boy, I'm probably going to be starting all over again. So
good for you.
Yeah,
that is really good, Mary Lou.
Yeah, I was pretty excited. That could 5, 10 days or 5 or 7 days away could usually. The old Mary Lou could have packed on an easy 5 pounds, not 5/10. So, I'm happy. Okay.
So, what did you do differently?
I think I'm more in tune and knowing, you know, that I definitely, you know, want to eat healthy and.
Did you skip the breads?
Oh no! Nope, I did not. I did not, but I walked, even though I wasn't out on a brisk walk, for 2 days, I would say about 20 hours we were walking at least 10 of them. So that's a good thing. Even though we weren't walking a brisk walk, we were on the move. So this part about getting up and moving around, no matter what the speed, is very, very important. We've talked about that on the call before. And not to be, you know, just sitting at your computer hour on end, get up and do a little bit of moving. And that's what we were doing is we'd watch a program at one stage for 30 minutes, and then we were up and you had to walk to another stage. And I think probably, if anything, that told me that I needed to be moving.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, of course, I made smarter choices. When everybody went to Chinese food and ordered the deep fat fried stuff, I had the stir fry and with lots of veggies. So, you know, just things that we've learned. Okay.
Interesting.
Pardon me?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Those small changes.
Yeah. Small, consistent changes. Was that Ruth?
Oh, consistent. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
That consistent word is the changes, and the consistence is the consistent changes. That's a key factor, huh?
Right. Absolutely. And so today, I just kind of wanted to. I was hoping that I'd be back and I'd be able to take my measurements and stuff, but I'm not doing that yet. So I wanted to cover again a little bit of that abdominal fat, because Dr. Blaylock had written some things about it. Margaret found a couple of things from on the internet as well, and so this I guess it's called visceral fat. And Dr. Blaylock says that that fat is harmful because it releases chemicals that produce a slow smoldering inflammation that's associated with many diseases. And so that is that fat that's around our midsection. And Dr. Blaylock said that a new study has suggested that obese people sometimes live just as long as thinner people. And at first, this might seem to imply that fat is harmless and that all the talk of obesity and disease was just a lot of hype, he said, but not so fast. He said that thin people can sometimes actually have more inflammatory fat than people who look clearly overweight. He said it's important of where the fat is. And most fat in the body is called subcutaneous fat. And that's that fat that lies just under the skin. And for some of you on the call, you, I think many of you knew that I had gone through an inflammation of that fat under the skin when my body, I think I was dumping a lot of toxins. But anyway, they say that that subcutaneous, this type of fat is relatively harmless, I guess, unless it gets inflamed. Another type of fat is the visceral fat, and that exists within the abdominal cavity, and it surrounds the intestines and internal organs. This type of fat is harmful to your health because it's associated with insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, diabetes, heart disease, this long word again, hardening of the arteries, atherosclerosis. Ruth, I know you know how to say that word.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Heart failure, cancer, and even Alzheimer's. And when I saw that Alzheimer's, I thought, how on earth could that be? But they did a neuroscience laboratory, a joint venture with the Duke University Medical School and a National University of Singapore, found a strong correlation between high levels of this visceral fat and shrinkage of the brain, atrophy of the hippocampus. So it said that there were memory difficulties and thinning of the brain's cortex. The subcutaneous fat had no effect. So it was this visceral fat. And that was just done about a little over a year ago. The study was reported in the Frontiers in Aging Neuroscience. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I think the key is that we do want to get rid of that fat around our waist, around our midsection. And I covered the other day, last week, where our height, half of our height in inches is where we should strive to get our waist. So if I'm 64 inches tall, I'm 5'4", that would mean my waist should be 32 inches. So Margaret, you looked up a couple of things. What are some things that we can do to try to get rid of that fat around the middle, because it seems to be the last place, first place comes on, the last place that wants to go off. So what did you find there?
I found three simple ways to end the belly fat, and that figure, Mary Lou, alarms me, because I went to the doctor and my height was 61. I was 5'1", so that my waist is not nearly, it's much more than that. Anyway, so I thought, I better find some way to end this belly fat, if at all possible. So one is called burst training. It's known as interval training. It's not what people that we see going to the gym and getting on a machine and vigorously of doing exercising, because you've seen them, and I have too. They don't lose their frequently don't lose their belly fat. So the burst training will help your body become a fat burning machine. It consists of exercising of 90 to 100% of your maximum effort for 30 to 60 seconds, then slowing it down to low impact for a recovery period of just 30 to 60 seconds, and then bumping it back up again.
I want to interrupt you right there, because when Ruth was on the phone with us the other day on a trip, she had her legs going like crazy while she was sitting on the bed. She doesn't do anything sitting still. She keeps moving all the time. So, you know, if a person, I think, is going from nothing, like sitting in my chair, to even, you know, moving quickly out to the kitchen to get myself some water, you know, 30 to 60 seconds isn't a lot, and some of you have talked about that before on the phone, and I thought, or on the call, and here I am out walking, you know, 3 miles out of whack, but I'm not doing that burst training, so I think that's good.
Mary, can I say something too?
Yeah.
Excuse me, Margaret. Yes. You know, when I've talked about this 5 or 10 minutes of exercise,
uh-huh,
that I think makes such a difference, essentially, that's what I'm doing. However, I do a short warm-up. I count all the time when I'm jumping and doing the different things. I count because sometimes I'm not feeling like exercising, and if I make myself have to go to a certain number, by the time I get there, then I feel good. But I do a short, I count when I'm running on a trampoline or something, or trotting or whatever I'm doing, jumping. I count up to 20 or something like that, and not going too fast, and then I burst it. So
okay.
You do a little bit of warm-up. I think it's a little bit more healthy and safer.
Yeah,
right. Safer, right.
Okay.
Well, okay, this one, burn fat with these real foods, I thought was of interest, and it's a vital component to longevity, optimal health, and vibrant living. You simply can't skip. Eating real, this article called it real foods instead of fake foods, is one of the best and easiest things you can do for yourself. Real foods are the one that God gave us as the advent of creation. The vegetables, fruits, seed, clean meats and fish, legumes, and much that are grown in healthy, rich soil without any chemicals added. Fake foods are what we want to avoid, of course. They are most of the foods you'll find at your local supermarket. Focus on eating real foods, especially veggies, when you're trying to lose belly fat. This will help not only get rid of the unwanted visceral fat, but also give your body the vital nutrients it needs to function properly. You want to focus on eating real foods that are high in fiber, and it lists split peas, black beans, artichoke, raspberries, and barley are particularly good foods to eat. And we know this, to stay away from sugar when you're trying to lose belly fat. Even the hidden sources of sugar, like grains. And then, I found this, Ruth has emphasized this several times, and this article said another surprising real food that's been shown to boost metabolism is cayenne pepper. And, of course, Ruth has talked about that, and I think you have cayenne pepper. You have a supplement, don't you, of cayenne pepper,
we do.
Ruth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a whole book written on it. The guy did it and got rid of his heart disease.
And then another thing that was mentioned was seaweed. And seaweed, I believe, is found in some of our nutritional products. And it says it's a fat-burning machine. It is. And then what I liked was, no matter what your age is, if you're overweight, obese, the time to make the changes is now. If you follow these three easy steps, you'll lose belly fat that may have been hanging around for years in less time than you think. You may lose it in less time than you think. And I like the comment, the longest journey begins with a single step. So take that step today. Get moving. Eat real foods for life. And supplement with the nutritional products with well, that Nikan has, and also the vegetables and fruits that were mentioned earlier.
Right, thank
and that,
you.
I think, pretty well covers.
Yeah, thank you. That
what I found were the three ways to lose the belly weight. Yeah. Well, and I see, I don't know about the seaweed, but I know that our omega green plus DHA has that red algae in it. Would that, is that considered a seaweed? I think. Well, anyway, and isn't there something in the digestion as well? I don't have that in front of me. But anyway, and then we've got our food chart that Ruth put together for us, so we know that we want to be over there. And oh, and then Margaret said split peas. Well, how smart is Nikan to have pea in our body balance? Pea protein in our body balance. So, you know, we definitely have it all, don't we? Okay, well,
good report. Margaret. Very good.
Yes, Margaret, thank you so much.
I have one thing to say about that, though.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes these guys make a generic statement, and it's waist size.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are just built different. And so I would add a little bit of something there. Because if you're 5'5 or 5'4 or whatever you are, you divide your and find out your waist is not is higher or something, I would say some people have like a short waist and there's their ribs right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the other things that you might add in that is poke your fingers in there and see if there a pinch of an inch. Well, then you've got some to lose. But if you just hit bone, you know, and then that's not belly fat. Or can you grab a whole handful? So there's a difference in the body build, and so I think people need to remember to take that into account too, which I'm sure you all do. But
yeah, I think those are. I'm glad you mentioned that, Ruth, because I have known. I never had a real small waist, and I wasn't fat either. So I'm glad you bring those points out.
Yeah.
Well, I wish she hadn't brought that part about can we grab something there, because I did.
Yeah, I can.
There we go.
Okay. I thought it was very interesting, though, about the abdominal fat and the brain, because we're hearing more and more and more about, you know, dementia, I mean, and Alzheimer's and all that stuff, and this can actually cause brain inflammation. So, I mean, it's something that we want to, that we definitely want to work on. And if we look at people as a whole anymore, we seem to be, I think we're built differently, but that's because of the sad diet that, you know, many of us have had been on for a long time, the standard American diet, and and you know, the additives in the food, which we all talk about on here. We want to stay away from, you know, all of those things and eat more natural. So I'm sorry, Margaret, did I interrupt you?
No, that's fine.
There seems to be a little delay on the phone. So
yeah,
thank you very much, Margaret.
Oh, I wonder.
Up on that.
I wonder, did Dr. Naidu say, not Dr. Naidu, Dr. Blaylock say that the visceral fat that we have in our belly fat causes the brain shrinkage? Or was that him that said that? And is that how he said it? Or is there a correlation between?
It says here in this study, in another new study reported in March of 2011, issue of Frontiers in Aging, co-founders of this a joint venture of Duke University, they found a strong correlation between high levels of visceral fat and shrinkage of the brain, memory difficulties, and thinning of the brain's cortex. Subcutaneous fat had no effect. And then
I had a hard time seeing how that it would cause it, but the same things that are causing the belly fat are causing the brain problems. So that gives us a correlation.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry if I... Did I say cause? I guess. I meant the correlation.
Now you did, but you didn't before, I don't think. Because I wrote that when you were talking, I wrote correlation. And then you said cause, and I thought, well, I don't see how to cause it. But
oh, okay.
A correlation.
Okay, and then it says aging, which is also associated with progressive brain inflammation, worsened the effect of visceral fat on the body.
Pardon me, you say that again, Mary Lou?
Aging, which is also associated with progressive brain inflammation. Okay, so aging just worsened with the effect of visceral fat on the body as well.
Okay, I think I blocked that word out.
Aging, which is also associated with progressive brain inflammation, worsened the effect of visceral fat. So that's maybe why I'm we are changing. Our shapes are changing. Okay. Ruth, did you have something that you wanted to
share? I think what we're talking about and what we're doing, I'm always excited to hear and see that when we travel, we know more, and being on the call on a regular basis and the consistency of that is encouraging us to change our ways. That are we satisfied with where we're getting? Are we sticking to it enough that we are really making some changes? And boy, this really hit me because I think that slipping up and some of the times really makes a difference, and you kind of have to start again. Or both with our business and with our health. And I'm not sure which one is most important. I guess our health, but can't do much without that. But it was this Susan Carver. the thing that she said that really hit me is, you are stuck. Who are stuck? You have conceded to resistance, or temptation even. If she could have added temptation, if she did, I didn't get it written down. You are stuck. It's time to shift gears. And so if we're stuck and we're not making progress, or we're going backsliding, then we are conceding to temptation and resistance. And how determined are we that we want to get where we want to go? And so how are we going to change that mindset? And that was another thing you said. Oh, what did you say back here? The little thing, small things, you said. What was the small things factor? Anyway, small changes you talked about were key factors.
Margaret did.
Okay. And so when it turned out to be Reed and talking to Mike, when I went back to my notes, Reed said to Mike, how much of an electrical charge do you need to change your mindset? That's essentially what he was talking about. And so Mike called back in a few days and said, it takes 1/1,000,000,000 volts to change your mind. And so if it only takes that much, and we really want to change, we have to change our mindset and be determined that we're going to stay on the track. How is a horse ever going to win a race if it jumps off the track? Probably break his leg. And so if we are stuck not getting where we want to go with our health, or we are stuck not getting ready where we want to be with our business, there are small changes that we can make in each one of those. And another thing that Susan said, she met somebody who said, I'm shy. Well, you could say, I'm shy, I'm scared, I'm got all these other problems, any excuse you come up with. And Susan says to this shy one, she says, well, what benefit is that to you? And I don't know what kind of excuses I've been having, but I'm not going to allow myself. I'm making that mindset that I'm changing some things. And I just thought this was a very, very good talk. It wasn't very long, but it was definitely all you royal diamonds, she said, you are stuck. What benefit is it to us to stay stuck? And how much does it take to make a change? what good are you getting out of sitting in that gear? And then she says, royal diamonds. Diamonds, any of them. Most of us are not very far off track. Just a very few degrees. And if we just change a few things and get them to stick, then we will get where we are wanting to go. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, very good. I just wrote down several more notes. Boy, I love that. What benefit is that to you?
What do you, and then she said, repeat it. What good does it do you to be shy?
Yeah.
And that comes back to the Kramer and Associates, there are no excuses.
Yep. Excuses be gone.
Good point, Kathleen. Stop it!
There you go.
That crazy film we saw at Pathfinders. Just stop it! Stay on track. When you're on track, don't get off.
That's right. And you know, and just like this last week, I certainly was not perfect, but it's become easier. The more that we do this, the more it is at the front of my brain that I don't want to make those bad choices. And knowing I'm coming back, going to be on the call, and I sure don't want to have to, you know,
well, you lose all your progress. If you go and gain 5 pounds, you lose all your progress. If you can maintain,
that's right.
And you're on vacation, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I agree. But we've been doing this so long that just moving a little bit and a little, making small changes and more small changes, you can get there. Or if you can make a big change and stick with it for a while, and just stick with it, and then make some small changes, you know, once in a while maybe make a bigger one. When you first get on this program, it's probably bigger.
Yeah.
If you get on the program and get on Kathy Abascal's elimination diet for 3 to 6 weeks, I think that would make a big change for people. And then if you can just stay on that and then go from there to making some more small changes and not allowing ourselves to get off the track. I'm looking for some kind of words that would be as good as, you are stuck. Well, you're not stuck. You've got over there. Now you need to stay stuck. Stay on track.
Uh-huh.
Not let ourselves backslide.
Can I share that? Go ahead.
May I share something with you? This was the exact conversation I needed to hear today, because I've been struggling with some things, and I just love hearing what you guys are talking about. So keep up the good work. It was just the right thing for me this morning.
Oh, thanks, Karen. Good. Yeah. Thanks, Ruth. Thanks, Margaret.
Okay. Thanks, Karen, for telling us that we did something.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah.
That just went together really well. We didn't even plan it together. I don't know. I felt like I was tuning into Mary Lou this morning. Okay, what's Mary Lou going to want? Okay.
And the funny thing is, we got on here early, and I said, I don't have very much to share, so would you share something from that you heard? There was something she wanted to share, so that was great. Thank you. Okay, well, we are about out of time. Does anybody have any last-minute things they would like to share?
How often do we need to repeat this part of the message where we need to have that cheerleading?
Stop it.
And don't
I
stuck.
I think you need to repeat, or all of us need to repeat these concepts probably every week.
Yeah, I would think once a week.
I know that for me, and that's the main reason why I stick with these calls, is I need that reaffirming of, what are my goals? Where am I going? Are you willing to pay the price? And, boy, I tell you, this is what helps me to stay on track.
You know, Karen, that was something good you just said. Are you willing to pay the price? I would rephrase it to be willing to pay the price. I am going to be willing, or I am willing to pay the price. and to repeat that. And
yep.
Where you want to go, and state your goal, and be willing to pay the price. That's a good phrase. We need to come up with some more of those good phrases. So you guys be thinking about them, okay?
That was excellent. Excellent, Karen. Yeah, Karen always comes up with great nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is Donna Neighbors,
and uh-huh.
I just wanted to share. I went on vacation for 2 weeks, and I really followed my way of eating. I was really strict, and, you know, I'm staying away from all MSG, and I lost 5 pounds on vacation.
Oh, my
wow.
goodness.
Wow.
Good for you.
So it's working.
You better go on vacation. Yeah. We better go on vacation more often.
So
good for you.
So that's 20 pounds I've lost so far.
Fantastic,
awesome.
Donna. Wow.
And it feels good.
You go on vacation with Donna, don't we?
That's probably true.
See, I had the wrong mindset. I didn't want to gain much. Donna wanted to release pounds. So good for you, Donna.
Thank you.
Wow. And I think the cheerleading is really important. I paid lots and lots of money just for that cheerleading. So when I was on one of my programs, and I reported every day, so for some reason or another, I needed that cheerleading.
All right. Wow, thank you, guys. Great call.
That one of the phrases that Monty used to use all the time was nothing tastes as good as thin feels, and that's one of the things that we need to get back in touch with.
Very
excellent.
Good, Steve. Thanks. Nothing tastes as good as feeling thin, or being thin feels. Good.
Thin feels, yep.
Yep. That's true. And Donna can attest to that. She knows
right.
how good it feels to release 20 pounds. Wow. Good
right.
girl.
And now I can sit into slacks. Well, clothes I can't fit into. And it's
fantastic.
Great.
Fantastic.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Well, I think our food that we've been learning to eat is really tasty. So I don't think those other things taste as good anymore.
That's right.
When you eat a piece of bread, just think how dry it feels in your mouth compared to a nice juicy tomato. Okay, you guys. See you later.
Okay, everybody. We'll be on again tomorrow. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Mary Lou, we're really glad you're back.
Thanks, Karen. I'm glad I'm back, too.
We missed you.
I was
Thank
worried about you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.